Well, good morning once again. We're thankful for God's blessings unto us today. You can be seated this morning. I'm going to ask you if you would take the Word of God and turn with us to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. Psalm 119, and then if you would draw your attention over to verse 41. Beginning in verse 41, let's begin reading. Let thy mercies come also unto me, O Lord, even thy salvation, according to thy word. So shall I have wherewith to answer him that reproacheth me. For I trust in thy word. And take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for I have hoped in thy judgments. So shall I keep thy law continually forever and ever. And I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts. I will speak of thy testimonies also before kings, and I will not be ashamed. And I will delight myself in thy commandments, which I have loved. My hands also will I lift up unto thy commandments, which I have loved, and I will meditate in thy statutes. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Now, Heavenly Father, as we come and approach your throne of grace, I ask you, Father, to take charge of our service today. Father, we thank you for the music that has been sung. Father, the spirit that we've already felt here. Lord, the time in our Sunday school lesson And Father, just as we fellowship one with another. But Father, we pray today that it's not just fellowship with each other that we have today, but Father, that we have fellowship with Thee. And Lord, that when we leave this place, we can have a renewed strength, a renewed vision in our hearts and our lives. And Father, that we can have salvation as full and free in our hearts as you have provided for us. And so, Father, today I pray that your word will not return void, that, Father, your word will speak to others, and, Lord, that you'll continue to undergird me and strengthen me, Lord, that I might speak your message today. Help me, Father, guide my thoughts. In Jesus' name we ask this prayer. Amen. Well, I believe today that salvation is the greatest gift that God has given unto us. There's nothing greater in the Word of God than salvation and what He's done for us through that. The difference of God's true work in our lives is amazing, though. There is salvation that comes to different people, and when that salvation comes to different people, different things happen in those lives. Some are called to do different things. Some are called to do mighty things, and some are called just to do simple things. And yet they're all, in the Lord's eye, they're all great and wonderful, those things that we do. Now, let me say this, and I want you to understand it in the perspective that I'm trying to share it. Religious people are not always impressive to the world. In fact, religious people are not always very impressive to themselves. Now, what do I mean by that? I mean that sometimes people take religion as salvation. And religion is not salvation. Just being religious will not get you anywhere into heaven. Salvation is what gets us into heaven. So sometimes religion then is not very impressive to people. And that's why a lot of people do not witness, and a lot of people aren't being saved. A lot of people aren't looking at us as those that would carry the truth of the Word of God to their families and stuff, because they're just religious. You see, religion and salvation are two different things. And I trust today that truly you have salvation in your heart. You're not just coming here today to the church because you want to be or you are religious. I hope and pray today that you're truly saved. And then the religion that we teach and we preach here is the truth itself. You see, when God does a work in our hearts, then it is the greatest possible experience that you and I could ever imagine and that we can enjoy every single day of our life. I want you to draw your attention back to verse 41 here of our scripture, where he says, "Let thy mercies come also unto me, O Lord, even thy salvation. But notice that phrase after that, according to thy word. You see, our salvation comes to us because of the word of God, because of the preached word of God, because of the word that you read and that you study, and you begin to get convicted through that word of God. I was thinking the other day as we were visiting some folks and as we were sharing the gospel with them and how the conviction began to be upon their hearts and for the wrong things that they had done in their lives, and they began to confess those things to me. And I told them that it's not me that you need to confess those things to. It's to God that you need to confess to. And they began to confess into the Lord and ask Christ to come into their heart. And that's what that verse means. He says, let thy mercies come also unto me, O Lord, even thy salvation according to thy word. You see, the mercy of God presents unto us that way of salvation, holding back those things that you and I truly deserve. We serve a great, merciful Lord today. I am so glad today that I am not receiving the things that I justly should be receiving today, the things that I know in my heart that God should have let me go through, should have let me have, and shouldn't have let me have heaven. But I praise God that He let me have heaven. Amen. What mercy and what grace He has bestowed upon us. The first thing today that we want to point out to you is that you need to be sure that you're saved. That you need to be sure that what you got is what God gives. Amen. I'm not here to give you salvation. I'm here to teach you about salvation. And God, through His Holy Spirit, is here to give you that salvation, to bring that to you through the blood of Jesus Christ. Paul told us in the New Testament that we need to test ourselves to see if we are in the faith, that if we truly have true salvation. And true salvation, first of all, is God's gift. It is His mercy to us, according to His word, again, as I mentioned earlier. And we can't twist God's arm, and we cannot twist His message today neither. And a lot of times people try to twist that to make it sound or to make it fit into their little equation. Just this morning, a gentleman brought something to me to take a look at because he feels like that the devil is using something to twist the minds of people to accept some faith or some religion today. And let me tell you, my friends, you need to be careful of that. When someone comes and knocks on your door and passes something into your hand and says, hey, I want you to read this, or hey, I want you to see this, unless they're from, excuse me, a true Bible-believing church, you need to be wary of that, my friend. And if someone comes to you and gives you pamphlets and things and they don't tell you that they are from a church and the pamphlets and things that they give you are not from a church, and knowing again that it's a fundamental Bible-believing church, then I would take that information and I would just dump it in the trash, my friends. You see, when we give out a pamphlet or we give out a brochure from the church or a gospel tract, it's got our church name on it, amen? And we let them know who we are, what we are, and that we are a church. But when people are giving you things that they do not want to tell you who they're associated with, you need to be wary of those things. I want to let people know who I'm associated with, amen? I'm associated with God, the God of heaven, and I'm associated with Calvary Independent Baptist Church because Calvary Independent Baptist Church is associated with that same God that saved me and that same God that I trust in, my friends. So you can claim all kinds of things, my friends, but if you don't have true salvation and you're not bringing that truth in the proper way, then that's just a claim is all it is. It's not real. We need to be saved on God's terms, based on His promise. When you're truly saved, then you have something in your life that the world needs to hear as well. And you and I then are obligated, we're commanded to share that truth with people in our world. And we go do that. We tell people about the Lord. We tell people about our salvation, about what God has done for us in our lives. And then what our answers are to the world, it then scrutinizes our relationship with God. When we tell people about Jesus, it lets them know, are we true or are we fake? And sometimes people can see that. Just because you go knock on a door doesn't mean that person has never been to church. Just because you knock on a door does not mean that person has never read the Bible. And so we find then that we're scrutinized wherever we go to make sure that we are saved. Church membership, sinless life. Listen, my friend, just because you think you have a sinless life and because you have church membership, that does not make you saved. A lot of people misunderstand that too. If I'm a member at so-and-so church down the road, and I ask people sometimes where you go to church at, and they say, well, I'm a member down the road. I ask them, I say, well, what's your preacher's name? And they stop and think. I don't know, but he's been there for a while, you know. And I have to be concerned about that when they don't know their preacher's name. Do y'all know my name? Yeah. Amen. Somebody ask y'all, who's the preacher down at the church? Y'all going to say, well, I just don't know who he is, you know. He's been there a little while, but we don't know him. I hope and pray you say, well, that's Tim York, you know. Not because I want a pat on the back, but because you know who the pastor is. Amen. And the community should know who the pastor is. And so that's why church membership just does not necessarily mean that you're a Christian. You see, today, God wants us to trust Him. God wants us to trust Him in salvation. And then after salvation, God wants us to trust Him then. We sing all kinds of songs. Even in the songs that we sang this morning, we sang about trust. Trust in our Lord and our Savior. So God wants us to trust Him. And there are four ways that I want to mention to you today that we can know that we're trusting God. Four ways that we can know that we're trusting God. First of all, today, we find that verse 43 of our scripture tells us, and he says, "And take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for I have hoped in thy judgments. So shall I keep thy law continually forever and ever." So here we have what we think that people are saying is that they have hoped in thy judgments. Well, we need to wait on God. Amen. Number one, we need to wait on God. If we're going to find out how that we are trusting God and know for sure that we're trusting God, the first thing we find out, if I'm trusting God, I'm going to wait on Him. Amen. I'm waiting on Him for all the things that He's going to bring to me and in my life. Now, how do you wait on God? Well, by the word that's in our mouth, by the things that we're saying, by the things that we are sharing with other people. Again, in verse 43, it says, "And take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for I have hoped in thy judgments." In other words, he's saying, I'm looking for your judgments. I'm waiting on them. And my faith and my trust is in your judgments. Excuse me this morning. I have a little catch in my throat. When we truly trust God, then our faith demonstrates itself through the choice of words that we have. What words do you normally use throughout your daily work, throughout your walk with God? This proves to us that we are trusting our Lord and our Savior if you use words that are godly words. But do most of us use godly words in our daily walk, or do we use worldly things? Do we use worldly terminologies? Do we use things that the world describes and how they describe things? You see, what would have been said if you were Noah pounding a nail? Think about it for a minute. What would you have said if you were Noah? What would you have said if you were Joseph counting prison bars? What would you have said if you were David looking for rocks? The day that he was looking for those smooth stones. You see, all of our inspiration of faith, in spite of our circumstances, our inspiration of faith comes from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Proper waiting then brings that greater capacity for service. You and I then, when we wait on the Lord and we trust in Him, the Bible says we'll mount up and have wings as eagles. But we've got to trust in the Lord. And we've got to show the world that we're doing that. Isaiah 40:31, "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength." Our strength is renewed in waiting on the Lord, and our trust then is made stronger because of that. We are also, another way that we find out that we are exampling and keeping the truth of God is by keeping His law continually. in verse 44 and 45 of our scripture this morning, he says, "So shall I keep thy law continually forever and ever, and I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts." You see, we're not just meant to be in the waiting room waiting on God all the time like you would in a waiting room waiting on a baby to be born. But you see, my friends, we're keeping the law of God continually in our hearts and our lives. Sometimes you might not see the big picture, but God knows the big picture. You know, you take a, for example, a jigsaw puzzle. How many of y'all put puzzles together? Anybody? I like puzzles. And sometimes you take that puzzle and you try to put that thing together, but you don't know where all the pieces go, do you? Especially the first piece, you know. Most people try to start with a corner piece, and they'll take that corner piece and then try to build upon that. And even though you might be a picture on that box of what it looks like, you still don't know where all the pieces go. And you can't put a puzzle together with five or six pieces at a time. You put a puzzle together, how? One piece at a time. And that's exactly how God wants us to put our life together and live for Him, is one day at a time or one piece at a time. Amen. Trusting Him and letting Him bless us as we trust Him. And we show the world that we're trusting Him by keeping His law. And one of His basic laws is that as we live our lives, that we're trusting Him piece by piece and day by day and one by one, we're doing these things for the Lord. Trusting Him. We have faith. Faith means leaving the big picture to God. And we put our faith in the Lord, and the Lord takes care of that big picture. So in other words, I don't have to see the big picture today. All I have to do is just trust in the Lord, trust in His law, trust in His precepts, and do what God tells me to do today, and then worry about tomorrow. You see, a lot of times we're so worried about tomorrow and next week and next month that we forget about God today. We forget about what He has asked us to do today. And so then we get caught up in the world and what the world says and what the world wants us to do. And we have then missed the mark of what God has asked us and the trust that we're to put in Him. Not only that, but we're also to speak His testimonies. We're to speak His testimonies today. Verse 46 says, "I will speak thy testimonies also before kings, and I will not be ashamed." It doesn't matter, dear friend, who you're speaking to throughout the day, whether it's a wealthy person, a person of notoriety, you're still supposed to speak His word to people. He's telling us to be a witness. He's telling us to open up our mouth and let the word of God proceed from our mouth instead of the words of the world. Do you see what He's getting at here? He's telling us that we need to be spiritual on a daily basis. This entire scripture is about the spirituality of a child of God and how that we trust God in that spirituality. And how that in that spirituality then that we should be sharing and trusting the Lord, but trusting Him to give us the words to say, trusting Him to lead us to people to tell those things too. When's the last time you shared your personal testimony with someone? Think about it, friend. The last time you shared your personal testimony with someone. You see, God wants us to wait on Him. God wants us to always continue to keep His law. God also wants us always to speak His testimonies. And one of His testimonies might be your own testimony, my friend, and how that you got saved, and how that God brought you to the place that you are. And not be ashamed of telling that. You know, we need to be ready at any moment to speak for the Lord. To be instant in season and out of season. Remember, that's what God led Paul to tell Timothy, to be instant in season and out of season. To be ready to give an account of God, to be ready to give your testimony at any time, my friend. And God will lead our hearts that way. When you start telling people about the Lord, God will open up your heart and it will open up your mind. And you may tell it one way today and you may tell it another way the next day, but the story is still the same, you see. how God saved you. And you need to tell it. Don't be ashamed. We, in our day today, we need to make sure that our testimony is heard and our testimony is given. And then number four today, the fourth thing that you and I need to make sure that we're doing. Look down to verse 47. If I'm going to trust in the Lord and prove that I'm trusting in the Lord, in verse 47 he says, I will delight myself in thy commandments which I have loved. My hands also will I lift up unto thy commandments which I have loved, and I will meditate in thy statutes. Do you love the Word of God? Do you love what God has commanded us to do? You see, we can shake our heads and we can say amen and we can say yes, but are we exemplifying that in our lives? Are we saying in our life that we love, or are we saying in our life, we say it with our mouth that we love these things, but in our lives and our bodies, we're not showing that love? If you tell your wife or your husband or your children that you love them, but physically and emotionally you're not showing that, do they really know that you love them? And I wonder today in our lives, if we say we love the Word of God and we say we love the commandments of God, but we negate every single day to read the Word of God, we negate every single day to live His commandments and to openly obey those commandments every single day, are we showing the world two different things? And I wonder then, if our hands are saying one thing and our heart is saying another thing, why people do not believe us then? And I really believe that's where Christianity has gotten to today. Because Christians will speak Christianity with their mouth, but with their lives they do not live it. And my hope and my prayer for our church and for each and every one of you is that you and I not only speak it with our mouths, but we also live it in our daily lives. You see, we just came through revival services. And what revival services are about? Revival services are about each and every one of us as Christians dedicating and rededicating our lives over and over again to God so that we can be truly spiritual and we can be seen as people that trust in God. And it's proven by the life that we live, not just what we say, not just what we speak with our mouths, but the things that we do on a daily basis. Now, I don't see you when you go to work. I don't see most of y'all when you go shopping or you do your entertainment and things like that. But my friend, God does. God sees you everywhere you go. God sees you at home. Brother Matthew talked about the difference this past week about being at home, that person you are at home, and then the person you are when you come to church, you know. And in some homes, it's two different people. It should be the same every single day. When you see someone that says they're a Christian, they need to live it on a daily basis. Be dedicated to the Lord. Now, we might not understand everything that the Lord wants us to do right now, but again, remember, God holds the big picture. All we have to do is just do it day by day and obey His commandments. And why do we obey His commandments? Because we love them. We love His commandments. His precepts. His statutes. That's what He says there in verse 48. He says, I have loved and will meditate in thy statutes. The truth that God brings. I love the Word of God. I love the truth that the Word of God gives. I love the commandments that the Word of God gives. And just like Joshua, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Amen. And I honestly believe today that we can say that in our house of God, but when we go other places, are we really serving the Lord? Or are we serving the world then? And I'm not picking on you today, friend. I'm just trying to be honest with you. I'm just trying to share the truth with you. Because we're going to be judged for that one of these days. Notice, remember what he said back there in verse 41 and 42? He He says, "Let thy mercies come also unto me, O Lord, even thy salvation according to thy word. So shall I have wherewith to answer him that reproacheth me, for I trust in thy word." In other words, if you're trusting in the Lord on a daily basis, when those people come and bring reproach upon you, you have something then you can say back to them. You can say, "Listen, you can't say that about me, because truly I am a child of God." You can ask anyone who knows me, you can ask anyone who I go to church with, and you can know that the truth that you say is a truth that they can believe. Are we living two separate lives? Are we living a life outside the church that is a life for the world? And inside the church, we live a life of Christianity? You see, God doesn't want us to do that. Verse 43 says, "And take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth." The reason he doesn't want that taken out of his mouth is because he wants to be able to be a person that no one can bring reproach to. That no one can say an accusing word about that person. And then notice this, he says, "For I have hoped in thy judgments." In other words, he's saying, "Lord, I want you to judge me. I'm hoping for your judgments." How many of y'all can say today, don't raise your hands, how many of y'all can say today that I have hoped that God would judge me? Judge me, O Lord, for my sin. We were talking about King David in Sunday school this morning. And David talks about the fact of restoring the joy of his salvation. He's asking God to judge him. He's asking God to judge him for his sin. And God does judge him, my friend. And God will judge us too. And you may be going through some of those judgments right now. You may be going through some hard times. And those hard times might be the judgment of God. And so I'm praying for you today. I'm praying that you can make it through that. I'm praying that you continue to trust the Lord as you go through that. You see, that's how we prove that. That's how we prove our trust, by coming through those hard times and coming out on the other end the right way. But I think sometimes God brings these things to our lives, and what do? We don't trust Him all the way through it, do we? We wind up failing the test. And then sometimes we get out of church, we get bitter, we get broken. And then when someone comes by from the church then and knocks on our door and tries to share the Word of God with us, oh, we're receptive to what they say, but we're still bitter on the inside. Now, what does it take to break that? It takes the love of God. And the love of God being shown to that person over and over and over again. Friends, I realize that there are broken people all around us. There's broken people in our church at times. And you don't have to stay broken. You don't have to stay messed up, so to speak. You can get those things right with the Lord. You can be fixed, in other words. You know, God's a great fixer today. And so let God do it. Now, I know today's message has been a little different than what I normally do. I hadn't ranted and raved. I hadn't bounced around the pulpit. But sometimes God wants me just to stand here and tell you the truth, my friends. I'm not saying that I don't share the truth otherwise. I'm just trying to say to you, sometimes God wants me to preach a little different. And today, honestly, my friends, I think this is a pretty strong message. It's a strong message to me. You see, I want to show the truth of God every single day of my life. And I'm sure I fail in that. And I know sometimes we do too. So let's just be honest today with God. Honest with God and let Him know, "Lord, I have failed You. Lord, I don't always trust you like I should. And so, friends, just trust in him today and let him carry you through. Even when you don't see the big picture, just be that little piece and put it where it goes. And then you'll find another piece that might connect to it, and another piece. And one of these days, that big picture will be finished, and there'll be joy. There'll be great joy. Would you please stand with your heads bowed and eyes closed? Maybe you would say, "Preacher, I'm lost. I've never been saved. I don't know for sure if I died today I'd go to heaven. I don't know about living the law and trusting the Lord. Haven't done that. Would you slip up your hand where you are so I can pray for you today? Would you be honest and slip that hand up and say, "Preacher, I'm lost. I'm not saved." Is there one anywhere? Then, my friend, I'm asking you this, and I know we just came through revival services, and we should be revived, amen? But I'm asking you this question. Did you miss it? Did you miss it in revival? Did you hold on to the pew too long? Did you wait too long to come to the altar? Well, here's another chance that God's given us. And I don't know how many more chances God will give us, friends, to get things right with him. And so I'm asking you today, if you would, to be honest. To someone today that says, "Preacher, I'm saved, but I've not trusted God the way I should. And my life does not prove that I'm trusting him." Would you slip that hand up so I can pray for you? Is there someone anywhere? God bless you. God bless you. Is there someone else that could say that today? Say, "Preacher, please pray for me because I've not shown that example like I should." Is there one anywhere? Father, as we come now and approach your throne of grace, I thank you that you have given us this opportunity today to share with the people, Lord, the way that we can be truthful and the way that we can show the world that we're trusting in you. And Father, I ask you that you would help us with this, Lord. Father, I know sometimes we fail you, and I realize that there are depths in our heart that sometimes we do not reach into. But Father, I'm asking today that we can do that. Lord, that through your Holy Spirit that you would pull the ugliness there so that we can see it, and Lord, that we can repent of that. Lord, that it can be removed from our hearts. And I ask you, Father, that as you do this for us, Lord, that you can help each one so that when we leave this place, we can exemplify you with a glowing testimony, a testimony not just from our mouth, but, Father, a testimony from our lives as well, that we can glory in you. And Father, that we can even look to your judgments and wait upon those judgments, Lord, and be happy about the judgments that you bring upon us. Lord, we know that judgment is not something that we are readily excited about. But Father, after that judgment comes, true peace really does come to our heart. And Father, there are folks that raised their hands today and said they're saved, but Lord, they haven't shown that peace. They haven't shown that trust like they ought to. They've not exhibited that in their outward life. And Father, I'm asking you to help them to be forgiven today. I pray, Father, that even right now they're asking you to forgive them. And Lord, that they'll step out and make that, Lord, make it true. And then, Father, I pray for others in our congregation, Lord. I pray for this entire congregation, Lord, those that have been afflicted with sin, those that have been afflicted with trouble and trial and death and all kinds of misery. I pray for them today, Lord. And I ask you, Father, to continue to build hedges about our church families and our church itself that the devil cannot enter in, that the power of Satan can not harm us, that it cannot break us down, that we keep standing strong for you. And these things, Lord, we ask in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm going to ask Sister Crystal if she would begin softly playing. And I want you to respond, my friends. If God's spoken to your heart today, listen to what He's saying. Some of you raised your hands earlier and said, "Preacher, I want you to pray for me." And I've prayed for you. I've did that. And I'll continue to pray for you. But are you willing to take that next step? Are you willing to come forward and to confess those sins before a holy, righteous God and say, "Father, I failed you. But Father, I want to get right. I want to do the right thing. Can you come up to this altar and do that?" Friend, I'm asking you. I'm asking you to be obedient to God. And God wants you to do that. Remember, it's trusting in Him and trusting in His faith. And what a sweet thing that is when you're able to do that. As Sister Heather comes and we sing a song, I trust that you'll continue to do what God asks you to do. Praise the Lord for His goodness and His blessings. You know, those things will come to light, you know, as that song says. Strangely Dim uses those phrases there. God enlightens us and He lets us see some things. And I'm thankful for that today. God loves people. And He wants us to love Him. And He wants us just to trust Him. And keep His truth alive. And let us show His truth when we leave this building today. Let us shine for Jesus. Let us speak it with our mouths and speak it with our actions. Let us speak it with the things that we share with other people. Let's always be Christians. Amen.
Amen.
Not just in the house of God.
Amen.
But everywhere we go. Let's be dismissed in a word of prayer. Brother Woody, would you dismiss us?